When one serves as an international affairs commentator, sometimes it's very helpful not being a journalist, helpful not being mired in a profession obsessed with the new, a profession that sees old news as something akin to dog poop, usable only to line the bottom of bird cages. No, this commentator is a historian, so I suppose folks like me can get away with going back, way back, all the way back, to a news item from, dare I say it, last month, to the release of the new Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change that comes out every 5 years. This, the first one since 2007, a report which included the findings of a total of 209 lead authors, 50 review editors from 39 countries, using the work of more than 600 contributing authors, all organized by the UN and the World Meteorological Association's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, an organization that itself won the Nobel Peace Prize. Yes, the Peace Prize, not the scientific prize, because understanding our planet's emerging climate instability is an important tool to potentially lessen the societal disruptions that the drying out of waterholes, the rising of food prices, are increasingly causing. If you're not sure about that, just ask someone from Darfur, the contemporary's most horrific genocide, or the people of Syria, whose current civil war was preceded by the stresses of both local and international crop failures that helped set off the entire Arab Spring. And if you have not heard about the findings of the most recent IPCC report, well, you can blame those Tea Party types who cost America a lot more than the $24 billion economic hit or the loss of international financial integrity. But significantly more important, the opportunity for the entire global community to gain full advantage of the warnings from the newest IPCC report with their headline-stealing grandstanding. But I suppose I don't have to feel that guilty about not focusing on the now, for ignoring the journalistic obsession with the immediate. After all, this week is the anniversary of Superstorm Sandy, which devastated the lives of so many in America's Northeast, costing scores of billions of dollars. And yes, like so many others, I have found myself looking back at what happened, fascinated, taking pride in the valiant effort of those who fought to rebuild their lives. But it seems perhaps even more important to ask ourselves not what Sandy meant to our past, but to our future. To put Superstorm Sandy into a larger context, and that IPCC report, albeit almost a month old, can offer some real help here, help understanding the storm surges that so devastated much of our coastal region. After all, the report makes quite clear, quote, warming of the climate system is unequivocal, and since the 1950s, many of the observed changes are unprecedented over decades to millennia. The atmosphere and the oceans have warmed. And that, as the report goes on, easily obtained by simply Googling the IPCC, that heavy precipitation events, increase in the frequency, intensity, and or the amount of heavy precipitation are a likely part of our future, while reminding us, quote, over the last decades, the Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets have been losing mass. Glaciers have continued to shrink almost worldwide. That the oceans are rising. Or, as I quote, the rate of sea level rise since the mid-19th century has been larger than the mean rate during the previous two millennia. And, of course, those higher seas are more easily propelled toward shore, pushed by the more powerful storms our obsession with burning climate-disrupting fossil fuels is causing. So perhaps we might start to consider this very week, as Sandy's devastation is so clearly on people's minds and legitimately newsworthy, not how Superstorm Sandy impacted us last year, but how the next Sandy and the one after that might mean to us next year.